that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow,
and that wheel has rolled around again. We welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this May 2nd, coming to you live from a sunny radio ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we thank both of you for getting up early and joining us, and we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us as well. Some people have called today that it might be water with the Radio Ranch Wranglers versus coffee. So if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But we welcome you here. We've got our Bibles open, and we're going to open up with prayer. And then from there, well, we'll open the phone lines. We'll get those buttons pushed, and we'll see how that goes as well. Well, John, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly, Lord, before your throne, Lord, and we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God of Gods, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us. Lord, we thank you that you are not slow as the world counts slowness, but you are patient, not wanting any
yes, Lord,
to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance, Lord. And that's our prayer as we're in this 7-day fast, Lord, is for those that can to come to repentance. Lord, our prayer is for the Holy Spirit to fall down upon your people, and that you would bring us to that place where we need to be, Lord, to complete repentance, that you would rend our hearts, and that you would just show us what it is that you would have us to do, Lord, to come to that complete obedience that your word calls for us to do, so that you can use us to punish the disobedience of those that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Lord, we do cry out for grace and for mercy. as we look at the things that are seen, we see defeat and no hope. But Lord, we know that in the spiritual realm, in the unseen, there is victory, because your word says there will be. If your people will but humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Lord, my prayer is for all those out there, the obedient remnant, Lord, that are fasting and that are praying and seeking, Lord, that we would obey as we hear from you. I pray that no harm would come to your people, Lord, no physical harm. Lord, that you would protect them. And Lord, we come against the forces of hell that will come against us as we seek to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And we bind them, and we send them to your feet to be dealt with any way you see fit. Lord, I pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around those that are yours, Lord, around their families and all that you blessed them with. We pray even now, Lord, your word says when two or more are gathered, then you're there also. Well, there's two or more gathered here this morning, and we just ask that you would come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and bring your myriads of angels with you, Lord, and that this time that you set aside for your people to come together to encourage one another to love and to good deeds, Lord, that it would be pleasing in your sight. We're in awe, Lord, at your grace and at your mercy. And we just pray that you would remove the crust from our hearts that the world places there, Lord, and that you would give us that proper spirit to love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. And we pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. Amen.
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 Amen. Had a scripture verse I thought I'd read this morning coming from Romans 8, and starting in verse 18. Romans 8, starting in 18, says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." And verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." And then it goes on and talks about hope, and it talks about faith in the unseen. And that occurred to me, John, as you were praying, that if all we do, and all the natural man can do, is look at the seen, then there is no hope. But, praise God, he's given us the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and a thing called faith that relies on the unseen and counts on the unseen but believes the promise of the word, that there is a,
yeah,
as it says here, a new creation. And although we may suffer somewhat here, it's not as bad as he suffered. But it might give us just an inkling, just a taste, just a glimpse at the suffering that our Lord and Savior, at the suffering that he went through,
I think often,
willingly.
Often as we fast, the devil will try to get us to believe a lie that there is no victory. And as long as we're in Romans, we all know Romans 8:28, but 26 and 27 are significantly important as well. "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with the groanings too deep for words." Now that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. "And he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God."
Yes. And you know, I think it's interesting, John, you mentioned that, because when if we're just, let's say last week at Wednesday night prayer meeting, maybe we look at this. We understand that the Spirit helps our weakness, that we may have a weakness in prayer or a weakness in understanding just what the needs of maybe somebody that calls in on the Wednesday night prayer meeting is, or we may have a weakness in dealing with brethren, or a weakness in whatever it may be. But we know that Holy Spirit intercedes and helps us with that. But you know, when you're fasting, there's a weakness that comes with that as well. And that Holy Spirit intercedes there as well. But until you do that, until you have that kind of weakness, you don't get that kind of help from the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Brings you in a shirt and a closer bond in a spiritual realm with the Lord.
Yeah. In a less relying on me and what I can do, and a more relying on that Spirit to help. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, and how often do we in our daily talk, you know, there's a lot of times when we're trying to explain something or you say, well, I don't know just quite how to explain it. I mean, you may even if you know in your mind or in your, you know, what it is, it's the words that try to come out. You just, you know, there's this gap there, and that's that advocate of the Holy Spirit, you know, standing up for us and interceding, like you said, between Almighty God and us. I mean, as far as being able to phrase it, to put it in the right words,
yes.
So that it's received, understood, and acted upon by the Lord of heaven, you know? I mean...
Amen. I think over in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that very thing in 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And then it goes on at 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And, you know, that things that we speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And it's not that we seek those things so that we can have the speech of the world. No, it's the things of the Spirit, which are in contrast to the things of the world.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things you need to realize with fasting is it's a discipline of love for the Lord and a desire of His fellowship, and for the purpose of spiritual edification. It's physical expression of our spiritual desire.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this morning. I was reading about fasting. You know, we hear about Jesus fasted for 40 days and the temptation when Satan tempted him. But if you read that story, there's some significance, a lot of significance there, actually. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. I think what I see there is, and after the fast, he then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him. So he was in a weakened state by the fast, and I think we can become in a weakened state as well. And if you don't understand the Word of God and use that to rebuke the devil that will try to get you to believe a lie, then fasting can be dangerous too.
Amen. And the words the words of Christ right there in I think you just read there in Matthew 4, but in Matthew 4:4, as he answered and said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Not some of the words, but every word. And you know, that was one of the gifts that our pastor had, is that he was able to explain to people how every word tied together, and that, you know, he was able to put to bed that lie that the Bible contradicts itself. And he was able to bring that together to where we can do that, where we can live on every word and see that, you know, when it says in Proverbs to answer a fool, and then the next verse says don't answer a fool. You know, we understand that there's a time to answer a fool and there's a time not to. And it takes wisdom and discernment to understand those times. And you know, when we read later on where it says, you know, even when Jesus said, oh, the word says, you know, an eye for an eye and curse your enemy, but I say love your enemy. You know, there's a time for that. And our pastor pointed that out. And just like here, you know, when Satan tempted Jesus, he used Scripture. But you're right, John, we are to, during this time, to pray for wisdom and discernment to be able to discern and use Scripture properly, with proper spiritual understanding, and not just reading it, because that's what the natural man does. The natural man says, "Your word says this or that." Whether it's love your enemy, or you know, submit to authority from Romans 13. How about that? And so many are misled and misunderstand those scriptures, as you know, I think as Satan wants it that way, because he puts it out that way, like he did when he tempted Christ. And I think you bring up an excellent point. We are to, you know, during this time, pray for wisdom, pray for understanding and discretion and discernment in the Word.
And protection.
Amen.
Well, and it's always, I've always thought it was significant in chapter 4 where Satan, it says the devil took him into the holy city and put him in a high place, you know, the pinnacle of the temple. Then a little later we read about him taking him to, you know, a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You know, he put him in these positions where, oh, that looked good, you know, and tempted him through that lust of the eyes, and that in the weakness of the flesh, you know, he put him into that.
The thought came to my mind as I read that too, is we know that there's those who have untold wealth and riches on this earth, right? So
yes,
and we know that they've made a deal with the devil, and you got to believe that they made those same promises to those people. You know, that article about Robin Williams, which, you know, they have all these riches and wealth, and Satan uses them to corrupt morality in the people. But when he's done with them, he puts the demonic voices in their heads, and they can't live anymore. And typically they'll kill themselves, but they don't see that. They see the promise in the beginning, and there's nothing more. And that's kind of what I read in there too, is this is how Satan gets those to give up their soul for the things of this world.
Amen.
Yes.
I was doing a little bit of thinking about some of that. I don't want to get away too far from, and I think this kind of fits in, but I was thinking about the greatness of God. And as a matter of fact, one of Matthew 4 was one of the ones I was thinking of. And I kind of went back to, a lot of times we think, well, Lord, they get all of that. And we, you know, sometimes it's like, where is it, Lord? We're in this situation waiting and waiting on the Lord, and we haven't. Sometimes you feel stymied, like there's just not, things aren't moving fast enough or things aren't happening. And it came to mind, Isaiah 40 came to mind, and it says in 27, it talks about the greatness of God. And it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, in 27 through 31, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Yes. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. And I think that kind of fits in with Matthew 4 there. So,
oh, it does.
Yeah, one of the things that for years I had missed as fasting and prayer is, and I think it's critical that you understand this if you're going into a fast, and that's Matthew 6, starting in verse 16, under the title of The True Treasure, Wealth. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And you say, you know, some people say, well, why do you fast? What's the reward, you know? Well, the reward is that the Lord sees your desire to be obedient to Him, and He honors that that show of desire, and actually, you know, it's a sacrifice. If you fasted, you know that there can be pain associated with it. But the thing I've found this time that I did not find before was I would always just kind of try to sleep a lot to, because when you're sleeping, you're not really thinking about food and you're not working or whatever. But now I find myself seeking the spiritual food instead of just the rest. And it seems that the fast is much easier than it was in the past.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, John, the next few verses there under that subheading of fasting, the true treasure, regarding wealth and mammon, you know, it's a comparison. He goes on in verse 19 and says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And, you know, he tells us that, and we're told, Christ told us that we are to live on every word that we have.
And these are Jesus' words.
And these are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he gives us a comparison. Yeah, he says, hey, don't fast. Don't be like the people of the world. They fast, but they want everybody to know it. And then he says the same, you know, a similar thing here. Hey, don't store up treasures in heaven or here on earth, because you do that, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is that 401k and that gold you got stashed away in your safe and that big house and that fortress and that hideaway and those guns and that ammo and that those cars and all, if that's your treasure, that's where your heart is. That's what you're going to love, and that's what you're going to worship, and you'll do whatever you have to do to keep those things. But he says, store up treasures in heaven so that your heart will be there. Store up treasures in my kingdom is what that means. Do, you know, seek my kingdom first. And when you do that, hey, then it's something that thieves cannot steal. It's something that will not rust away. It's something that the moths will not come in and eat. You know, you store up treasures towards his kingdom, and they stay there. And, you know, you may say, well, how do you do that? Well, you have instructions. You have this book that tells you what you are to do. You know, things like making the sacrifices of righteousness. And fasting is one of those things. When it's done properly, when it's done as you read, John, basically in secret, when you're not Facebooking everybody telling them that that's what you're doing, and you're not moping around, oh, look at me, I'm fasting for God, oh. No, that's what the, you know, he says, that's what the Pharisees do. That's what the liars do. That's what the hypocrites do. But he's, you know, we're not to be that way. We're not.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. My children are blessed to go to a Christian school, and when they go from eighth grade to high school, they have not an eighth grade graduation, but an eighth grade blessing. And they bring up each one of those children in that class, and that's going to graduate in whatever it is, 19. And the teachers come up and they just pronounce a blessing over them, including backing it up with scriptures that they believe affect them in their lives. And then it's interesting how God puts it upon those teachers to bring out the qualities that they see in them, you know, the Christian qualities. And it's pretty moving, really, to see those teachers. Some of them even break down in tears because they understand the temptations of this world, and their goal is to get these children to a point where, you know, raise up a child in the way he shall go, and when he becomes older, he will not depart far from it. But anyways, afterwards they ended up, oh, let's all go out to Bojo's, a pizza place here in town, and I'm like, oh, fine, no problem. So I ended up going, and I was sitting there, and they're like, how come you ain't eating? I said, oh, I'm not really hungry, you know. And finally they figured it out. Oh, yeah, right, you're not very hungry. So they figured out that you're fasting. But anyways, it was, you know what, it didn't even bother me one bit. You got pizza sitting on the pizza stand right in front of you, and the aroma's coming off, and didn't bother me one bit, because I know that this is so much more important than that piece of cheese pizza in my mouth.
Amen. And it's, like you said earlier, John, it's that discipline. And, you know, we, in today's day and age, for the most part, we are an undisciplined people. An undisciplined people. And I'm talking about Christians. We are. But Christ, in the example of being led up in the wilderness and the temptation that you read, that showed discipline. And it was, I think one of you brought it out, it was after he fasted, when he was weak. He was weak, but what he had done in that is he had drawn closer to God. He had, he had strengthened himself with the spiritual food. But, you know, I think that's a great example, John, of showing discipline.
But the only way he defeated Satan was through the Word of God.
Right.
And if we don't know the Word of God, and
absolutely,
we bring ourselves into this spiritual realm,
yeah,
Satan will come against us. And if we don't have that weapon of truth, of God's Word, then we're in trouble.
Amen. And you know, that ties right back into the Bible reading plan for 2015. We've got it's
absolutely.
May now. We've got the May schedule up. I've got some printed. We'll be bringing them to church tomorrow, passing them out. Remnant that's tuning in, if you'd like the May daily monthly calendar that we have that has the Bible reading plan, just contact us. Send us an email or call us or something, and we'll be glad to to give it to you, to send it to you. It is posted at the website. You can click on the Bible reading and download it there in a PDF. And when Christ gave that quote, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," that references back to Deuteronomy 8. And I just want to read a couple verses here that, because, you know, Christ, he replied with the word that was written, the word that was written from long ago, the word that we have. You know, we've heard over the years, "Oh, that Old Testament, bah, that's done and gone." No, this is the words of Christ that he quoted there, and it's Deuteronomy 8. And, you know, it is God instructing Moses to tell the people what they are to do. And a couple verses here. Moses 8, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." And, you know, that's what Christ told Satan. That's what he remembered. You know, that, and we talk about that Christ as a son was disciplined as well by God. And here he was disciplined. And he remembered the days of old when he walked with the children those 40 years and led them through the Red Sea and baptized them in the sea and in the cloud. And it reminds us there that it was God doing it. God says, he humbled you and let you be hungry. And so when we do this, you know, we give in to that. We remember that as we remember, you know, during communion, that even though we may be hungry, it is a humbling thing, but it's discipline. And disciplining ourselves in this, it's a whole lot better to be humble and to discipline yourself before God than to be humbled by God and to be disciplined by God.
Yeah, I think one thing we often miss is, until this instruction that we read in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, was given by the Lord, fasting was harsh and dramatic. You know, they were told to put on sackcloth and ashes, and they went unbathed and unshaven for days and lying in beds of ashes. You know, Jesus taught that we should fast with dignity, starting there in Matthew, and that it was both personal and private.
Yes.
And practiced without public recognition. So just like when Jesus came, he did away with the sacrifices because he's the ultimate sacrifice. He also changed what it was that we were to do regarding fasting.
Amen.
He gave a better understanding. Tim?
Humility always goes back to pride. And, you know, which is what Matthew 6 was talking about there. I mean, but it kind of a... It's interesting that when you pray for someone in private, or when you, anonymously do something for someone, or you fast in secret, these are all examples of humility, of humbling yourself before God, of saying, "I'd rather have a blessing from God than have a blessing from you." And 1 Peter 5:5 kind of says, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And, you know, if we don't want God to be opposed, who wants God to be opposed to you?
Amen.
So, humility is an important thing, evidently, something that needs cultivation. And I think that's, we've seen that word show up just in these verses that have been read all over the place. Humility, humble yourselves.
Amen.
And
you know, Tim,
grace,
when we do that, aren't we storing up treasures in His kingdom?
Exactly.
When we humble ourselves rather than being humbled. You know, you can look back even David. You know, David had to go and live with the Philistines and act like he was crazy at times. You don't think that was humbling for the David, who slew his 10,000s, who had taken down the giant? Oh yeah, that was humbling. You know, it was. But he had a heart after God's own heart, and he was able to do that. Pastor had a, years ago, he had a little saying taped to his broadcast rack here. And it said, he who can kneel before God can stand before any man. And
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Humility. And it's not that we kneel before God so that we can stand proudly and haughtily before men. Not at all. But it shows where that humility is to be.
Yeah. You know, fasting is a tool. That, along with fervent prayer, will place you in a supernatural realm with power and authority. And if we go back to the story in Matthew 4 of Jesus being tempted, it was only the Lord that commanded Satan to leave with the authority that he was given by God. And we just need to remember that we have that same authority. And in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 is the promises that the Lord give us. We have to stand on those promises. And let's see if I can find that. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, let's open up the phone lines. We're a little over halfway through the program this morning, this May 2nd, 2015. And so we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in this morning with water with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, as some have called it. And you know, I've had the opportunity to speak to several of the remnant over the last few days, especially Thursday and Friday, since we started this fast. And you know, some are fasting with where they're just going to have water and try to fast the entire week. We've had some that said, hey, we're going to fast the first day and the last day with you. And we say, praise the Lord. And we've had some that have said, you know, hey, we're going to do the Daniel fast. And we're doing the Daniel fast, which is, you know, basically just water and vegetables. You can read that in Daniel where they did that. They didn't have any of the meats or the wine or the fancy breads, they called it. And so, you know, there's, you know, we have our children kind of fasting away from TV and video games, and not that we do a lot of that, but they're fasting away from that during this time. And so, you know, there's not a hard and fast that it exactly has to be this for this length of time. You know, we have many Bible examples of fasting. We have examples of different periods of time, and we have examples of fasting from different types of food. The fasting means to abstain is kind of where the root word comes from, to abstain. So you may be abstaining from different things. And as you heard John read earlier, it's a private thing. It's between you and God. You know, we can sure share with others to encourage one another's to love and good deeds and to encourage them in their weakness. That, hey, you can fast this way. You can fast that way. This is how we're fasting. You don't have to fast this way. You pray about it. And if you're led to do this, then you do it as you're led along the lines of the biblical standards, you know, as much as possible. And so we see that. And that's a, you know, that's how different parts of the body of Christ, I think, are led in different ways, but along the same path. Got a caller? Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Nope, guys, this is George.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hey, George.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, and if you've discussed it already, forgive me, but I was wondering, what do you guys think about the partaking of communion during the fast?
I think we should partake of communion, because I think that it in my, and it's my opinion, not necessarily because I don't think we've talked about it here at the ministry, but I think we should partake of communion because I think it is spiritual food.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just kind of wondering that. I figured I'd call up and see.
And if you read through, I think there's a, and I'm not sure where, again, Pastor, you know, he could say, oh, yeah, right here it tells this, but there it talks about when you come together for communion, if you're hungry, eat at home. You know, right. And I think that, and I'm not sure where it is, but I think that it makes that distinction that this is not food for dinner. This isn't lunch.
Right.
This is a remembrance of Christ. And so I think that it makes that distinction. He's, you know, hey, you come together, and there's a time to come together and eat and have fellowship dinners and things like that. But that's separate from communion, and
right.
I do. I think that the communion is spiritual food. So we plan, as far as I know, don't we, John, partaking of communion tomorrow at church?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. I think that it was the Roman Catholic Church that kind of perverted that as well. As I was looking, I was actually looking into that yesterday. I was working on a communion message, and I can't see anything biblical that says that we're not to partake of communion. In fact, I mean, during a fast, I think, in fact, it's
probably helpful,
more important,
yes,
and critical. Yeah.
Good question,
yeah.
George. I
okay.
guarantee if you
all
thought
right.
of it, there's others out there. I had a call earlier this week in the office that asked the very same thing, that said,
okay.
Hey, we're fasting, so we don't do communion, do we? And so it's you know, we're all growing, and you know, I don't recall that question coming up in years past. So
okay.
we're all kind of growing in his grace and knowledge, and hopefully all being led down his, you know, his path.
Right. Well, it makes sense. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good morning.
You too, George. God bless.
Okay. Yep.
Thanks, George.
All right. Very good question. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in, if you have a comment this morning. Want to remind everybody, if I can real quick, Tim, and then I'll sure turn it over to you, that this evening is the makeup Passover day. This is 30 days past the original Passover, which was on April 2nd, which was the 14th day of the biblical month of Abib, and that starts on the spring equinox, just to give you a quick synopsis. And so the Passover, which in our day and age has been changed incorrectly and unbiblically to Easter, which the date falls all over the place, but it's not so with God, and it's not so with his remnant, that pray and that seek his wisdom on this. But the Passover was April 2nd. You can read in Numbers 9:11 and in 2 Chronicles 30 how when they went to reinstitute the Passover, or they missed the first Passover, that God in his grace and in his mercy and in his loving kindness as the Heavenly Father he is, said, hey, you can make it up the second month. But he didn't say the third month and the fourth month, and we don't read into it that, well, since he says you can make it up the second month, then you should be able to do it any time you want. No, not at all. That's putting man's thinking into it. But we see right from the Bible that...
Listen up, remnant. If you did not partake in the first Passover, you better do it today.
Amen.
And you better at least read Exodus 12 and understand the story and partake of communion.
Absolutely.
And those that I talked to that I asked why you didn't, I hope you're listening.
Yeah. And it, you know, at this point in time, if it, and John, I know you brought that out in a, you know, since the original Passover, you know, but if you didn't make the first one, bottom line, observe the Passover this evening, okay? Observe it. You know, have communion, and like John said, pray and read Exodus 12. Read Numbers 9-11 and read 2 Chronicles 30 because it tells you of the Passover and that it is to be an everlasting remembrance. And so, and the way you observe it, read those scriptures, pray, and partake of communion. Christ today is our Passover. There's no doubt about that. We don't slaughter a lamb. I talked to a man on the phone yesterday about that. We don't put the blood on the door and the doorpost and the lintels because Christ is our Passover today. So observe that this evening. Got some phone lines ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Water with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Wranglers. Well, I'm listening to you on the live stream from the WTWW website there, and but good. I checked my periodically. I checked my shortwave, and on 5830, you're coming in very, very weak, and that's even with a long wire stuck out the window.
Hmm. Well, thanks for letting us know that, and Joe usually, too. Thanks for letting the people know that if they. You know, they can do the live stream at the WTWW website as well as the Scriptures for America website.
There are a number of different buttons that you can push and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called, but they're, you know, the Windows little icon there.
Sure.
That's the one I usually always do. But anyway, it's interesting. But, yeah, I'm with you guys in the fast. I'm going for the total fast. I did succumb to temptation this last evening. I had a spoonful of peanut butter. Don't tell anybody.
Well, you know, if that happens, you just start...
Between you and God, brother.
Yeah, you just start back over again. And
I'm trying not to crack the refrigerator too much.
There you go.
But we're with you.
Amen. Well, thanks, Joe.
Oh, have a good day, everybody.
Thanks,
all right, you too. God bless.
Bye.
And we'll...
Hey, that verse, the verses that... George was looking for is in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at about verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? That, I think that's the story you were looking for.
That's definitely one of them. You know, it's separate from eating physical food. It's a spiritual food. Let's take another caller. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Saturday morning. Oh, caller, sorry, have to have a little patience with us, a little perseverance. You can call back 307-745-5913. I think we've still got some time here. Yeah, we've still got about 10 minutes, so just have to call us back. 307-745-5913 if you have a comment this morning. Another scripture that came to mind this morning is in Mark 4. And it's in a different type of application the way that it's being presented there. It's just after the explanation of the parable of the sower. But... this is what it is. It says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And so that applies in many different things. That applies in matters of forgiveness. You know, we talked earlier about storing up our treasures in heaven. And that's one way we can do that, is remember that the way we measure, the way we judge, the way we forgive or don't, that's how it's going to be measured back to us. That's one of the, you know, that's one of the ways of God that is not the ways of the world. So just a thought. Let's go to the phones again. Good morning. Welcome to coffee or maybe water with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, man. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois.
Good morning, Willis.
Hey, Willis.
How are you guys this morning?
Morning, Willis.
Abundantly blessed.
Abundantly blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I just want to let you know here in Southern Illinois, 5830 is coming in very strong and very clear. I'm just a
okay, thanks, Willis.
With antenna.
Awesome.
And also, I wanted to just throw a suggestion out there for anybody that may have forgotten to do it earlier this year, or those that might want to take advantage of it, this makeup Passover. I always thought it would be a good time to go through and anoint your homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Thanks for that reminder, Willis.
Well, I just wanted to give a quick comment there and let you know the radio was coming in clear.
Great.
You guys have a blessed weekend.
Thanks, Willis. You too.
And we'll be talking to you.
All right. Thank you. Tim, you had a comment a minute ago, and I apologize. I think I cut you off if you still have that. I want to share that.
Well, it was kind of backing up to George on as far as communion went. As John said, that's 1 Corinthians 11 was where I was at, but verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're not really given a except or do it at this time. It's an often thing. And so, you know, there's no indication there that during a fast we're not allowed to partake. You know, so I think that kind of reiteration, but it's a as often thing, and I think it goes back to the humility or secrecy of it that we talked about earlier. We appear before the Lord in that state too. There might have been the potential there. I'm not sure, but you don't show up before the Lord in sackcloth and ashes to celebrate the greatest gift that God ever gave mankind. So,
right.
You know, I mean,
stay tuned tomorrow. That's what my communion talk's going to be based on, basically. So,
okay,
excellent.
But at any rate,
excellent. And we do want to remind you too that we have the Branson gathering fast approaching. It's just a little over a month away, and so. We do encourage you, if you would like to attend, we have a registration form out that we have to get back from you one way or another, you know, or talk to you on the phone or something. So we encourage you to, you know, give us a call. Give us a call at the office on Monday and let us know, hey, I'm going to be there. We've got to get the rooming list in middle of the week this next week, and so we'd sure like to know if you're planning on coming, we've got some overflow rooms at a different place, but it's not as nice as the place we're meeting. And we'd rather have everybody be able to stay and gather there at that one place. So if you're planning on coming to Branson, give us a call Monday morning. The office number, not the call-in number here, but the office number. It's in the Dragon Slayer newsletter on page 15 of Volume 3 at the Branson registration. But the office number, 307-742-7582, and let us know.
If you're not registered, you won't be admitted.
Yeah, but you can call and let us know. We do, you know, even if you just, I'll send that registration in next week. You don't have to call and pay Monday. But just call and let us know, and that way we're putting the food together this year, and so good clean food. Like we always have, but we're doing that a little bit different this year, and so it'd sure be nice early on to kind of have a good count. And we've had many that have done
that. Plus, we have to commit the rooms too. That,
yes.
That we have to pay for whether you show up or not. In fact, we've already committed to those rooms, so we're going forward in faith.
We are.
So we would appreciate you letting Richard know as soon as possible, just so we know where we're at.
Yeah, and so we encourage you to do that. We are looking forward to Branson. And, you know, we're preparing here, as we are to do, and really looking forward to it. And so we want, you know, those of you out there that are supposed to be there, basically, we want you to be there. And we encourage you, as pastor encourage you, to pray about it. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you just don't know if you can, make it or not. Maybe you don't know if you should or not. Pray about it. If you're a baptized, repentant Christian, and you pray and you ask God, He'll tell you. It's as simple as that. The Word, and the reason I know that is because the Word says it. You know, we've read that many times over the last week or two. You know, how Christ said, hey, if your son asks for a fish, you don't give him a stone. If he asks for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. And you being evil, treat your children that way. How much more the Heavenly Father will He give those? And He gives those that abide in Christ. So pray about it. Ask the Lord, and He'll let you know one way or the other. He really will. If you're wanting to come, we ask you to let us know. Give us a call on Monday and just say, hey, I'm going to be there, and we can worry about the details in the month of May. But it sure be nice to know. You know, we're wrapping up here this morning. We thank you, the Remnant, for joining us here. We always want to invite you to church on Sunday. And we do that. You know, you can come to church with us. Hey, last Sunday we had some people drove for hours and hours from Nebraska to come out and visit us. And we sure welcome them in. And so if you want to visit us in person, just give us a call and let us know. That way we know you're going to be there. We always like to know if we're going to have visitors. But you can also join us at church on the Internet. You can go to scripturesforamerica.org starting at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon out on the East Coast. And join us. We'll have either a scriptural insight, a little quick Bible study, or a scriptural review of the news. And then you'll see the ramrod there with a welcome and a prayer and usually some scripture verses to share. Shane and I will be there. We'll have singing, praise and worship music, praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we're told to sing a new song unto Him. And so you may not like to sing. Maybe you're like me. You can't carry a tune in the bucket. Doesn't matter to God. We are to sing a new song unto Him. That's a commandment. That's one of the ways we store up our treasures in heaven, as we obey His word. And then you heard John. He's got communion tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to hearing John's communion message. And then we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. So there's the invite. We thank you for joining us here. We're going to go out with one of the pastor's favorite songs. And again, thanks for joining us. And God bless
all
that are
here. Keep that Passover makeup day.
Keep that Passover makeup day.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Snake hide!
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving.
Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.